Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here, Pastor Adam.
Hey.
Back again.
Tag team, back again.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yep, we're here. Episode what?
Episode 238.
What are we doing?
We're in this series. This is going to be a third one, I believe.
Yes, it is third one.
Episode three. Things I will not keep apologizing for.
Yep, so I'm doing this from a pastor's perspective. Been working on this for a while. This is very, even though we probably have more notes on this series than we usually do, this is still very raw because it's kind of personal. You know, when we're talking through things that, I don't know, when we're talking on the podcast about like how to read the Bible or the last one, lies that enemy tells you about scripture, those aren't near as personal for me as something like this, right?
Yeah.
So they're a lot easier for me to talk through. This one is harder because I'm doing it from my own perspective. It's sort of a list of things I've been writing for a while that I'm just not going to keep saying I'm sorry for. I'm just not going to keep apologizing for. So the first one was 236, which was I'm not going to keep apologizing for preaching the truth, preaching the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Then last week's was real personal, and I actually really liked the episode. I thought it came out pretty good.
That's great.
I'm not going to keep apologizing for saying no, and maybe some of you people pleasers need to listen to that message. And then today's is maybe the most personal one there is for me so far. I will not keep apologizing for protecting my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it. So like I said, this is from my perspective. I'm a pastor, which means most of my life revolves around people. It's just how it is. Their struggles, their losses, their questions, the crises that they have, their faith in general, their spiritual habits, physical ailments, the big pinnacles in their life, right? The birth of babies and the marriages and weddings and deaths. I'm counseling a couple right now in their premarital counseling as they walk into, you know, a day that they're really excited about. They will be my 143rd wedding, right?
Wow.
So I've married 143 different couples. I've done at least 100 funerals. So, you know, my life sort of revolves around people, right? Pastoring is peopling. A lot of people would say that pastoring is preaching, but that actually is not really the case. Pastoring is peopling, and even preaching is really peopling.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
If preaching is not peopling, then we're not doing something right. So, you know, because I'm a pastor, I spend a lot of time with people, and I consider it an incredible privilege and an honor to walk with people through the most important moments of their life, right? It literally, the way I describe pastoring, I just said this to somebody the other day, met with a young man who I think has a call in his life, and I told him, I said, pastoring is the hardest thing I have ever done in my life, bar none. It's the hardest thing, and it is not getting easier, right? I'm 26 years in. It is not getting easier. However, it is also the honor of my life, right?
Mm.
It has been the absolute honor of my life to walk with people in their greatest highs and their lowest lows. And I've had moments where all that's happened in the same day. Like I did a funeral one morning. That afternoon, I did a wedding. And then late that night, got a phone call that some people's child had passed away, all in the same day, right?
Oh, wow.
All in the same day. And that's not the first time that has happened. You know, so it is an honor to walk with people through their struggles. But there is something that, which is why I'm getting to this whole not apologizing for my family, there's something that pastors rarely ever talk about publicly. Like, we might talk together about it, commiserate. We'll talk about it inside of our homes a lot. We'll talk about it with counselors and therapy. Matter of fact, lots of pastors go to therapy and counseling because of this, but we rarely ever talk about it publicly. And it's this. When people see a pastor, they see a leader, a preacher, a counselor, or that nice churchy word that really sums it up well, a shepherd. But behind every pastor is something that people don't always see, very clearly at all, and that is a spouse, a child or children, a home, a family. And that family didn't necessarily make the same choice to be in ministry the same way that the pastor did, right? That you see somebody who preaches to you, teaches you, leads you, guides you, helps, marries you, buries you, whatever. But behind that is a family who didn't really choose it. You know what I mean? Like, they just were, for lack of a better way to say it, born into it, you know? Now, Valerie and I, we chose what we're doing right now, right? But, you know, when we got married, I wasn't going to be a pastor. That wasn't the plan at all, right? I was going to be a clinical laboratory scientist, right? I wanted to be, at some point, a pathologist. I wanted to work with diseases or dead people. In other words, things that didn't talk. And now God has a sense of humor, and I'm a pastor, and I talk all the time, and I work with people that talk nonstop, right? It's funny. So Valerie didn't marry a pastor, right? She married a pre-med student. And then 6 months in, God changed the whole game, you know? But we began to choose it together. And then when we planted the church, we chose it. But my kids didn't choose it. I mean, they were born into it, right? All my kids were born when I was already a pastor. We were already in ministry for a long time. You know, Olivia was born, you know, in 2007. I'd been pastoring since early 2001. You know what I mean? So it'd been a while. 6 years we've been pastoring, right? And so, you know, it's hard to believe it's been that long. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Eyes are wide and keep going.
Yeah, me and Valerie got married in 2000. 6 months later, right, I was pastoring. So, you know, the kids didn't pick it. And pastors don't talk about this a whole lot. The kids didn't choose it, but they still feel the weight of it. Like, I feel the weight of it. I know I feel the weight of it. I chose to feel the weight of it, right? And I choose to feel it every day, but they still feel the weight of it. They still feel the late night phone calls, the canceled plans because something has changed, the arranging our life to some extent around the church calendar, the preaching calendar, you know, the unexpected emergencies that happen. They feel the weight of all those things. The Sundays that never really feel like a day off, right? The fact that our family's weekend looks very different than other people's weekends look. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
That, you know, the weekend off for us means Saturday, right? Now, I'm not, by saying they feel the weight of this, I'm not discounting all the wonderful blessings that they also get in addition to it that other people don't, right? Because there are some amazing things that pastors' kids experience that are a true blessing from God that are very unique to them that other people don't get to experience. But they feel the weight of a lot of stuff. They feel the weight of the conversations that happen at the dinner table about church struggles and people struggles. You know, they feel the weight of mom and dad need to go over here and talk for a second and you can't hear it, right? Because it's something that's confidential. Or dad's got to step outside to take this phone call and you can't be around it because it's confidential. Or they feel the weight of asking questions about people at church and they can't get the answers to them, right? Because I can't share it with them. They feel the weight, the emotional weight that always follows me home, that I have to work real hard not to have it change my whole attitude and perspective in the evening times or whatever. They just have to. Pastors don't live separate lives. Like, ministry does not stay in the church building at all. And the kids feel it more than most people ever realize. They feel the weight of it. There was a season, I preached a 4-week series on loneliness a couple years ago. And the reason I preached that series is because our entire family had walked through a multiple year period of loneliness. And I'm not talking about just me and Valerie, right? It was the kids. And we had to talk about it. Like, there was this long, I mean, I want to say 3-4 years, right? Period of just loneliness because of some friendships lost and relationships lost. They were all tied to the church. And the kids walked through that season of loneliness just like we did. And they carried those things. And they felt that more than I think most people ever realize. You know what I mean? They felt those things. Like, my kids have been bothered so many times by, where's such and such? I don't see them anymore. We'll run into somebody in the out in public, right? We'll see them from afar or something. They'll be like, hey, it's such and such. I'm going to church tomorrow. I'll be like, no, say nothing. We're not going to go over there. They have an issue. They don't like dad. You know, that kind of stuff, right? And they feel that. They bear that weight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And wow. And I know that I ain't handled all those things right. And I'm not saying that from that perspective at all, right? But they feel the weight of those things. And you know what's funny is they know when something's going on in somebody's life because they know that dad's on the phone with them or dad had to meet with them or whatever. They just don't know the details, right? So they carry around a lot of angst and a lot of worry, a lot of fear, a lot of loneliness, a lot of things that most people just don't even realize. And there's been seasons where I didn't realize it either, unless God, you know, let me see it, right? Those kids make sacrifices that don't really get noticed. And I don't want what I'm saying to sound conceited. It's not. But some of the sacrifices they make, like, they share their dad with the entire community, right? The whole community. Like, here's an example. This is a stupid example, but it's an example. We don't go anywhere in public, right, without them sharing the time that they have with their dad with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I have to actually, we talked about it on the last episode, I have to say no a lot and put up correct boundaries. Otherwise, moments that I have with my kids when they were doing something will get hijacked by some ministry need right in the moment, right, not even planning on it. But they share their dad with the whole community. I've been having to do our youth pastor stuff for a couple of years now, lead that team. And so I love teenagers. That's all I used to do before. I never thought I would pastor old people. I thought I'd always pastor teenagers, right? Mm-hmm. And like when you and I met, I pastored teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I've been leading the youth at church for a while. And so I've connected with those kids, right? I love teenagers. And there is a group of high school girls that use my office on Sunday nights for their small group, right? So what we did was we gave the high school girls the best spot for small groups because they are engaged the most in a small group conversation, right? So the high school girls get my office. They get to come in and sit at the couches, right? They can move my chairs around. They got privacy. They can close my door. I have a door and then I have an inner door. The inner door makes it private, right? You can't hear anything outside the room. And, you know, creates a confidential space. And so they get to go in there for that. It has its own bathroom, you know what I mean? So they get to go in the office for that. And some of the girls have been calling me Daddy Adam, right? It's just a joke.
Yeah.
But they wrote it on my whiteboard in a small group a couple times, all right? And Madeline saw it. Madeline's our youngest. She saw it. And she got mad.
She probably got mad.
Because she's like that anyway.
Yeah.
But she was mad. And I'll come in there and she's mad writing on the board. And I think she's got in trouble. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's erasing something. So then I think that she's in trouble. I'm like, what are you drawing on the board? Right? Because she erased it when I walk in. And then she's like, nothing. And then instead of erasing the next one, she just starts to mark it out with the, you know, it's like over and over and over again. I was like, what's wrong with you? She says, I do not like that they call you Daddy Adam. You are my dad. Right.
Aww.
You are my daddy. You're not their daddy. If Aiden and Olivia want to call you that, that's fine. But nobody else. I mean, she's mad, right? And a couple of these girls, they sign their name to it, you know, and she knows them well. She really likes them.
Yeah.
They really like her. But boy, she didn't like that at all. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying this to sound conceited. I'm saying that they have to share their father with a whole community of people. Right.
Yeah.
The church community, but then not just the church community, right? Because pastors don't pastor just the church community that they're in. They pastor the larger community that's around them. You know what I mean? And so they have to share their father with them and they have to share my time and energy and all those things. And it's deeper than that. They learn that their dad belongs in some sense to many people, right? So one of the sacrifices the kids make is they understand that that is part of God's kingdom and church, you know, and it's good that they learn that on some hands, but on the other hand, it's hard, right? Because they learn that their dad, as the pastor, does also belong to these other people as well, not just them. You know what I mean? So I have to guard and I have to ask this question. And for some of you on this podcast, maybe it's the exact same thing that you need to ask. It's just not from a pastor's perspective. I have to ask this question. Am I protecting the people closest to me, or am I unintentionally neglecting them, right? Am I protecting the people that God has put in my inner circle, my intimate family? Am I protecting them, or am I neglecting them unintentionally to meet the needs of other people, right? Because my job as a dad is to protect my children. You know, what's funny is when men say that we're going to protect our family, we get this false idea in our head that that's to protect them from some sort of physical danger, right? And of course, we would protect them from physical danger. But you only get one time in your whole life to actually take a bullet for your kids or your wife. You get one time, right? Because once you take that bullet, you're dead. You know what I mean? But you get chances every single day to protect them from all other crap, right? All other stuff. You get lots and lots of opportunities to protect them in other ways, to protect their hearts, to protect their minds, right? To protect their souls, not just protect them from physical harm, you know? And so the question I have to ask is am I protecting my family, or am I apologizing for protecting my family, right? Because I'm putting them first. I'm apologizing for it. And then I'm unintentionally then, you know, feeding all that into somebody else, right? Getting those priorities mixed up is the word for it. Because there's this dangerous myth, and it's not even just a myth. It's more of a lie from the enemy that the church must always come first. The church has always got to come first. It sounds noble when you say it, right? It sounds holy that the church comes first. I'm a pastor and the church comes first. But it's not. It's not a holy, noble thing. It's not even it might not even be a myth. I think it might be a lie from the enemy. Scripture never, ever calls pastors to sacrifice their families on the altar of ministry, ever, right? Matter of fact, it talks about the opposites. You get a couple of these verses in the couple sections in 1 Timothy that talk about pastors. Steph, read chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Timothy 3, 5. There we go.
If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?
See what I'm saying? So like this myth, the church come first, the Bible says, uh-uh. The Bible says, no, you don't sacrifice your family on the altar of the church ministry, right? And if you can't take care of your own family, then how can you take care of the church? I like to say it a little differently. If you can't pastor your own family, how in the heck can you pastor a church? That's what that scripture says to me, right? In other words, that means I need to not apologize for protecting and pastoring my family. Because if I don't pastor and protect my family correctly, then how in the heck could I even be do that for anybody else? And that part right there is found in the qualifications of pastor. So if you are not pastoring your family first, then you are not qualified to pastor the church. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, read that one, Steph. I read this one a lot.
Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
That is a deep verse right there. And that verse is not in the context necessarily of pastors. It's in the context of taking care of widows in the church, right?
Oh, yeah.
But think about what it's saying. Like, before you can take care of somebody else, you got to take care of your own household. Right. And if you're not taking care of your own household, if you are, so the way that verse plays out for me, right, practically, is if you are taking all your energy and effort to pastor and protect and love on and care for and shepherd other people, and you're not doing that with your family, then you're not fit, right? Not just to minister. That ain't even real Christian faith in practice, is what the scripture's saying. That ain't even what it looks like to follow Jesus, right? Because the family has to happen. It's got to happen first. Like, my biggest fear in pastoring in general is that my kids will grow up to feel like you care more about the church than you do about me, right? I do not want that. That has been a fear since the day I found out Olivia Cook was in Valerie's belly. That has been the fear. I do not want my kids to ever think you care more about the church than you do me. You care more about those people, or you care about more about preaching or whatever initiative is going on at the church, whatever. You care about more of those things than you do me. I don't want them to feel that way. I desperately want them to, and I think this is what parenting really looks like and pastoring really looks like. I desperately want them to, at the end of the day, when they're on their own and they don't live with us no more, and they got their own families, I want them to have grown up in a pastor's home where they, on their own, by themselves, they love Jesus and they love his church, both of them. And there's way too many pastors' kids who end up loving Jesus but despising and hating his church. And most of that did not happen because the church was so mean. Most of that happened because their pastor, father, or whatever did not protect them. They did not prioritize them. They did not live out those verses that we're talking about in 1 Timothy in chapter 3 and in chapter 5. They didn't live those out. That's the reason that the kid ended up going, well, I love Jesus, but I don't want to have no part of his church because the church did this to me. The church did this to my family. The church did this to my dad. My dad was sucked into the church all the time and didn't, you know, wasn't caring for me or loving me or whatever, and I don't want to be a part of that. That's where that comes from. It's not because the church is so mean, right? Because the church is going to be mean sometimes, and it's going to require some things. And it's my job to protect them from that, right? And to put it in the right priority levels. And what I'm learning is not apologize for it.
Yeah.
Right? Not apologize for it. Like it's some sort of burden that I'm putting on people in the church by protecting my family, or making them first, it's some burden that I'm putting on people that I need to apologize for. Not the case at all, right? Not the case at all. I want them to love Jesus. This is called the scripture we read just a minute ago, the first one, was that 1 Timothy 3?
5.
Mm-hmm. That is known as the, you could say it a different way, first pulpit ministry, or your first ministry, right, is home and family first. Then it is the church, home and family first. So the ministry and the family comes first. Then out of that comes what we would call the church ministry and the public ministry. And this makes so much sense, Steph, because just like Jesus talked about, you know, when he looks at the Pharisees and he starts to go off on his woes, woe, you Pharisee, you hypocrites, right? And he starts to get them, and he says stuff like, I think we said this on the last couple of episodes ago. He says stuff like, you clean the outside of the cup, but you ignore the inside of the cup, right? And you know, when Jesus talks about your heart and out of the heart, right? From the heart, everything flows out of the mouth, right?
Yeah, it's all coming from the heart.
We just preached about that, right? Same concept here, exact same concept that the family ministry comes first, and out of that comes an overflow that goes into the church and to the public, right? It's the same thing I feel about preaching and teaching. The word of God is being spoken to me. I'm reading it for me. It's transforming me. And out of the transformation that happens in me with it is it overflows out into the preaching. You know what I'm saying? It's the same concept, right? That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about family first ministry, or your first pulpit. Your first pulpit is not at a church. Your first pulpit is with your family. That's the first pulpit. And so I'm no longer going to apologize for that, right? I'm not going to apologize for it. Just like we said on the last episode about saying no, right? I'm not going to apologize for saying no to things. And I brought up like men's breakfast. I'm not going to apologize for protecting my family from, hey, we've done this every single time. We're not going to not do this time. We don't need to. Or my kids have a game on this particular day, and by golly, I'm going to go to the game. And if that means saying no to this, then that's okay, because my family and my ministry with them comes first. And then out of that overflow is what's going to come to everybody else, right?
Yeah.
And I really do believe in the principle behind this matter that Jesus talks about, that cup is clean on the inside, then it gradually takes care of the outside. It's what really matters. Same thing with our hearts. If our hearts are changed, if our hearts are different, if we're focused on our hearts, then they will overflow out. I believe in overflow, right? I believe in it. But to have overflow, you have to actually start at the first thing first. You know, so for it to actually be to me, for it to be, and I think that's what that scripture was talking about too, for it to be real ministry, it has to come from the overflow of first things being first, right? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about family pulpit first, family ministry first. If you're listening to this and you are a part of a church, it doesn't have to be mine, right? Because there's a bunch of people who listen to this who go to our church, and there's a bunch of people who don't. If you're listening to this and you are part of the family of believers in a local congregation, a local church, there is something beautiful that you can do for their pastor, for your pastor, and that is give them permission to love their family well, right? See, I'm tempted to even right now go, there's something great you can do for their pastor, as a, you know, for your pastor. Love their family. You love their family, and that's great and all. But what you can do that's even better than that is give that pastor permission to make their family first, right? Mm-hmm. Make their family first. And when I say first, I don't mean first over all things. Of course, God's first, right? I mean first in ministry.
Yeah.
Give them permission, right, to put their kids' activities before all the needs of the congregation, and to really be able to protect their children and their wife and all those things, because they carry a bigger burden than you will ever realize. They carry the joys of ministry and they carry the pains of ministry more than anybody else in the church does. Because even though we try to shield them from so much, they just have an innate knowledge of what's going on because they're around it all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're around it constantly. And we just got to be okay with those things. We had something like this come up recently in a setting, and, you know, I don't know. I don't think I can share it yet. I think it's too raw.
Yeah.
I think it's too new. Anyway, I was going to share it. I don't think I can share it right now. I think it's too new.
But that's okay to say no.
Yep. Yep. There you go. and I'm not going to apologize for it.
Exactly.
But yeah, if you are a Christ follower and you have a pastor, just help hold their arms up when it comes to protecting their family and their kids. And particularly the best way we protect our family and our kids is to make that ministry the first ministry, right? Mm-hmm. It's important. And one of the things that we don't think enough of in ministry is the ministry of presence. And that was one of the big things that I was talking about in the beginning of this episode, right? Because if you go back and you look and you say, all right, what was all that mess I said earlier, right? With people all the time, in these moments, it's an honor of my life to be with them in the highs and the lows and all those things. You know all I'm bringing to the table when I show up to that, right? All I'm bringing to the table is presence. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm bringing, right? I can't fix those pains and those hurts. I can't solve any of that. I don't have the perfect words to say in those moments.
Right.
What I'm bringing is presence. And what we can help our pastors do is to be able to make their families first in the ministry of presence, right? Take some of that pressure off to be there for everybody else and everything so that they can be there for their family first. And if a pastor is healthy and their family is healthy and pursuing God, not perfect, but healthy, the overflow of that will do nothing but build up the body of Christ that's in that congregation. We'll do nothing but that. I'm no longer apologizing for protecting my family ever again.
Boom.
I have before. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm sorry Aiden has this. Not doing it. Aiden has this. I will not be there. Right?
That's
my family
is
going to come first. I'm going to make sure they have what they need. You know?
And you know, I feel like it may have been you that said this. Someone said it. But if you're saying sorry all the time, I guess this is because it surprised me. Some people think that's not genuine anyway. So if you're always saying sorry, like, why are you saying sorry? It's not like you did something to hurt them. You can't help it that your son had something going on.
Yep.
So that makes sense.
Yes. If you do, and that's actually true. So if there's something that you're repeatedly saying all the time, almost out of habit, mm-hmm. there's no possible way that it's completely genuine if
right.
it's done out of habit all the time. Right.
Yeah, because someone else made you feel that way or yeah. something. Yeah.
Well, it's just like yeah. anything else. If you sit down right now, if you sit down and you prayed the exact same prayer to God every single day at the exact same time, you can't tell me that the habitual nature of that has not taken away some of the genuineness.
Yeah, that's right? true.
And it's the
like
same
programming
thing
it.
Yeah, it's yeah. the same thing like this. If you you know, if you are just consistently saying you're sorry to everything all the time, there's no possible way that you genuinely mean that. Right. It's the same thing with when people say, when you go, oh, I'll pray for you. If you are consistently saying to everybody you see about everything all the time, oh, I'll pray for you.
And you don't.
There's some whatever the word is. There's some, you know, it's not there. Right. It's, you can't possibly mean it if you say it that frequently. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like you just want to say what sounds good so you don't maybe upset them or something. Yep. Or you're trying to
make yourself feel better
space.
About it.
Yeah. Right?
Make yourself feel better about it too.
Yep.
Yeah. For sure. I've lived this, absolutely, hands down.
Me too.
Especially in the church. Especially in the church.
Yeah, you're right.
I've lived this constantly, where I feel guilty, like I need to apologize for, you know, my kids having something, or I needed to do something with them or whatever, right? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Or them having a need that I'm going to meet as their dad. I feel guilty about it. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Right? And am I just saying that to make myself feel better about it instead of being rigid on, no. Like, I take God's word seriously. And God's word says that I'm supposed to take care of my own. God's word says that if I am not ministering to my family first, I'm not fit to minister to you.
Yeah.
So why would I apologize for that then? You know? Why would I apologize for it? That's the sort of awakening that's been happening to me, which is why we're doing this series, you know? So.
Woo!
Which is a hard awakening. God's having a lot. God's given me lots of awakenings over the years, right? I don't even know awakening's the right word, but you know what I mean? Like growth.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Conviction,
over the years. And most of them
refreshment.
Hurt. Most of them hurt. Yep. This one hurts real bad. This one's tough. This one's hard.
Well, thank you for sharing it, because I feel like this is something we can all, you know, understand more about pastors, but also even about ourselves with things. When it comes to these types of topics, I guess.
Yeah, you know? To me, all the episodes we've talked about, except for maybe the first one,
preaching
the Bible, right?
Yeah.
All of them apply to anybody, right, in these situations. It's just I'm going to give it to you from the pastor's perspective because that's all I know, right? But, I mean, you protecting your family, making your family first before you go feeding into other people. I mean, the daggone airlines teach us this all the time, right?
Oh.
Right?
Yep.
When the oxygen mask falls down, you got to put yours on first before you could attend to anybody else. It's the exact same thing when it comes to what we're talking about, you know?
So true.
And another reason why, like last episode, when we talked about saying no, right? You know, who doesn't need to not hear that? Just because you're a pastor, you need to hear that too. You got to be able to say no. If you don't say no, then you're not going to be able to say yes when you need to say yes. You know? Anywho, let's wrap it up.
All righty. Well, thank y'all for joining us for this third episode for this series.
Yeah. I kind of like the series. It makes me uncomfortable.
I can only imagine how
now,
you feel
the next now. One, the next one, I'm going to come at you. And, and I'm going to have some people that are going to be mad at the next one. And I'm not going to apologize for it either. So.
He'll tell you next time.
I'll tell you next time. I'm not even going to tell you what it is because you won't listen. I'll tell you next time.
Don't be mad about it. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see y'all next time.
You can get mad if you want to. We ain't saying we're sorry. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.